Sweet. Let's do so. All right, folks, you are in the MCU for Dummies. I am dummy number one, Ken. That is dummy number two, Lou. It's always a tongue twister for me. And tonight is Iron Man 2, a very forgettable entry in the MCU. But it's here, and we're going to cover it. Lou and I spoke earlier tonight. We are going to pause time out. We're going to pause on the movie reviews after the end of Iron Man 2, and we're going to take some stock of everything going on in the MCU after that first, what I believe will be our first four movies, if I'm correct. Captain America, First Avenger, Captain Marvel, Iron Man 1, Iron Man 2. We're going to take a pause. We're going to take stock of everything that's going on in the MCU, everything that's coming up in the MCU, everything that has been in the MCU. Just some quick recap stuff. This stuff starts to get pretty dense right around now, maybe at the beginning of Thor, which will be our next movie, which will probably be in 2 weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. That's when things start to get weird because we're going off world, right? We had Captain America take place on Earth, Captain Marvel take place mostly on Earth, Iron Man 1 definitely on Earth, Iron Man 2 definitely on Earth. I don't know, Lou, if we've discussed whether or not we're chatting about the Incredible Hulk. I am imagining that we're not, but I mean, hey, who knows? Maybe we will. But in any event, we get into Thor after this, and then we are off in the galaxy, right? We're just doing some crazy shit. Lou, Iron Man 2, if I had asked you 2 weeks ago what happened in Iron Man 2, would you have known?
No, Ken. Iron Man 2 is a rough one. It doesn't have like the gravitas that you find in Iron Man 1. And I'm not saying that Iron Man 3 is rememberable as well, but there's still a lot to love in Iron Man 2, which I'm sure we'll touch upon. I did have to watch a quick recap on YouTube, one of those classic, like, this movie in 4 minute type of deal. And, you know, there are a lot of good, important points here. It's not, I still think Iron Man 3 is better than Iron Man 2, and Iron Man 1 obviously takes the crown because of just how much emotional attachment we have as viewers in that movie. But, you know, I'm sure you'll get into those points. But overall, Iron Man 2 has its place. It's not tremendously a great movie, structure-wise, character.
Lou, if we're talking about the tomato meter, the tomato meter has Iron Man 2 in the bottom three, all-inclusive in the MCU, right alongside Thor the Dark World, which luckily we have not seen yet, or have not covered yet, and the aforementioned Incredible Hulk, which we may or may not be covering before we get to Thor. Iron Man 2 is a... I'm trying to think of a sexier word for shit, and I'm having a real hard time.
How about just a dumpster fire?
Yeah, that's fun. It's fun. I mean, there's plenty of fun things that happen. You meet a little lady named Scarlett Johansson. Don Cheadle pops his butt into the MCU. You get a little War Machine action at the end. Fun stuff. I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head. Your Hammer. What's his name?
Justin Hammer.
Justin Hammer comes
in. He's one of my favorite characters in this. I was going to wait for you to get to that point, but
Sam Rockwell, who is just a fun character actor, comes in as Justin Hammer. He's fun. You get your first foray into like the behind the scenes of the Stark Expo, which is fun. So there are some fun things that happen in the movie. Fun, though, does not equal good. And this, we can all agree, is a bad entry in the MCU, but still serves a purpose in moving Iron Man from Playboy billionaire philanthropist Iron Man 1, crazy man flying around, doing crazy things, building out of his box of scraps, and then Iron Man 2, the evolution of the suit itself, better relationship with Miss Peppa Potts, and, you know, just some general fun. Right, so let's pop in to Iron Man 2. Lou, anything to add before we jump? off the building without our arc reactor to help us continue to fly.
No, man, I'm in my Mach 5 and I'm ready to go. I hope you don't have one of those Hammer Industry suits, the Mach 2s, because those are pieces of crap.
Yeah, it's gonna break my back.
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, let's do it. Let's do it. So, Iron Man 2. Boy, it is a, like Lou said, it is a bit of a dumpster fire. But here we go. Iron Man 2 introduced. Oh my God, I lost my notes. There we go. Iron Man 2. The world now knows who Mr. Tony Stark is. At the end of Iron Man 1, he came out as Iron Man, so the world now knows he's facing some pressure from all sides to share his tech, right? We see a little bit of, like, some weird, like, capitalism things going on in the movie, which is always weird to me, that, like, Disney is poking fun at capitalism, but it, like, owns my heart, I'm pretty sure. Like, if I tried to get open heart surgery, Disney would be like...
Not emotionally, but, like, logistically,
Disney would be like, yo, we got a copyright on that thing. Yeah. Some like weird, you know, some weird capitalism stuff. He's, you know, Tony Stark, a little bit reluctant to share and divulge the secrets of his suit, right, of the Iron Man suit. And so he and Pepper Potts and New Rhodey, form some sort of new alliances, and they confront some powerful new enemies, including your boy Ivan Vanko, or Ivan Vanko, however you want to call him, Mr. Whiplash, that is his villain name, as he comes through. Tony Stark battles him on like some sort of raceway as
they're in Monaco,
flirting.
And your boy Elon Musk is there. He's yes, got to show yes. Pepper. That's before Elon Musk was cool. Everyone was like, "Ooh, Tony Stark, Robert Downey Jr. He's new Elon Musk." And Elon Musk is like, "Pepper, I have new design for the Merlin engines." And she's like, "Oh, Elon, so nice." Iron Man does the best job at blending pop culture because it's really the only movie that can do it because its main character is an actual human. You don't see the Hulk socializing with anyone, and obviously Thor can't do that either, but I don't want to bring you off track. Keep going.
No, you're good. And while this is all going on, right, Tony's kind of under the illusion that he's dying based on the toxic levels in his blood from his palladium ring that is surrounding the arc reactor in his chest. So shit's getting weird for Tony. He's kind of off the rails, doing some weird shit. He names Pepper Potts the CEO of Stark Industries. Natalie Rushman, quote-unquote Natalie Rushman, becomes the assistant to Pepper Potts. Of course, Natalie Rushman is an alias for your girl, Black Widow. Natasha Romanoff.
Okay, yeah. I thought. There you go. Sorry. Yeah, you got it.
Yeah, Scarlett Johansson, who will one day get a standalone movie. I believe it's 3 weeks now, supposedly coming out.
Yeah, the strategy here is that Disney took Brie Larson and they said, "Hey, Brie, you start us off by just sucking all of the energy and wind out of female-led." Marvel superhero movies, just take it, just lower the bar, let everyone hate you, and then we're gonna actually come out with probably a good storyline and movie here.
We can only hope.
An amazing actress who can only hope. Like I told you offline, gets better as the years go on, like fine wine.
Yes, but like a fine wine.
I digress.
So your boy Ivan Vanko shows up at the Monaco Grand Prix. They do some crazy crap. You know, everybody's a little bananas. It's a very fun part of the movie. As we've talked about, there are maybe not so many great parts of the movie, but they are fun, and this is one of the funs. So Tony Stark gets home after he defeats him. He's in prison, right? He's doing his Ivan Vanko stuff in prison. Tony finds some new tech based on his dad's research that can help him survive. So they create a new element, sure, and it cures his poisoning, yada, yada, yada. So at that point, Tony and the rest of the gang, we'll call them Don Cheadle, Pepper Potts, Black Widow, Natasha Romanoff, right? Everybody starts to realize Justin Hammer's connection with Ivan Venko. Hammer, excuse me, Hammer at the Stark Expo unveils some new military drones. Rhodey should be captaining them, but they are not. So shit gets a bit intense. And then you get your first war machine action with Tony and Don Cheadle going at it against the drone army. They take down Vanko again. The Hammer's drones are equipped to self-destruct, so they start to pop off. And then the fun part, as there is a fly on my screen, I think I got him. I did. I don't know if everybody saw that, but I got the fly.
You
got
to refer to the Mike Pence handbook of fly elimination. Yeah.
At least I noticed, right? At least you know I'm a human being who notices that there is a fly interacting with me in real life.
You passed the turning test of humans.
Oof, yeah, I'm not an alien. So then Tony saves Pepper, takes her to the rooftop where they have their first smooch. Very exciting times. Shit gets a little quiet at the end after the smoochy smooch. Everybody's happy. Then your boy Nick Fury comes into town. He believes that Stark is unsuitable for the Avengers Initiative, but they want him on as a consultant, etc., etc., etc. And then, Lou, you get your first chronological type post-credit scene, which we can actually talk about. We talk about the post-credit scenes at the end of Captain America: First Avenger. We talk about post-credit scenes at the end of Captain Marvel, and post-credit scenes at the end of Iron Man, all of which were a little bit out of order, right? We weren't really able to talk about the Captain Marvel one. If we were going to talk about the Iron Man post-credit scene, introducing Mr. Thunderbolt Ross there, it maybe would have been out of place depending on our conversation about the Hulk, which we will have offline. The end of this Iron Man 2, your boy Phil Coulson over in New Mexico, who informs Fury that they've found it, quote-unquote, unquote, I'm doing air quotes like a crazy person, and that it is Mr. Mjolnir, who is in the Earth for our boy Thor, who will be arriving in the MCU shortly. Lewis, Iron Man 2, not good.
But there's a lot to like here.
There's a lot to like. There's a lot of fun.
It doesn't. If it was to be equated as a meal, it does not leave you sick. It does not give you bad memories. But it is very unfulfilling. But there are still elements to the meal that you like.
I think I have the perfect analogy, Lou. Iron Man 2 and potentially Iron Man 3. I got to rewatch it though before I make a final determination. Iron Man 2 is unequivocally drunk late night McDonald's. It's not good. It's not good. But it's you know what? You needed it. You were in it, enjoyed it. Afterwards, you said, I probably just could have come home and like maybe had like a bag of chips or maybe like a soda pop, and I would have been just fine. But while you were in the McDonald's, while you were eating your McDouble, while you were 12 and a half nuggets deep in your 20-pack, right, and you're on your fifth sweet and sour sauce or on your 17th honey mustard.
Is this personal experience here?
You are saying to yourself, this is fine, right? This is good. I needed this because it does help move your Tony Stark along. It does get him and Pepper in the same room. It does introduce Natasha Romanoff. It does introduce the connection between the military and the Iron Man suit, and a little bit of his anxiety with how his medicals are turning out, and introduces a little bit more about him and his father's relationship, etc., etc., etc. It has parts that are necessary. So while you're in the McDonald's, you're saying, "This is good. I needed it." Right, afterwards, you're saying,
"Is this movie more bad, or is it more important to the greater MCU story?
Yeah, and that's a fine way to think about it. Just like how eating your late night McDonald's is more important to your mental being, right? But the movie itself comes, and now we're just talking cinematically, right?
Yeah.
Put the MCU, take it, put it in a can, put it to the side. Cinematically, listen, none of these movies are like Oscar worthy, right?
Shout out,
the acting is fine, right? But at the same time, I think this Iron Man 2 gives you a very canned movie vibe to me.
Canned movie, as in like France can, or like in a Pringle can.
like,
what are you talking about here?
Like, as like, kind of like they followed the formula, right?
Yeah.
A, you introduce villain. B, you introduce, self doubt. C, you introduce, family strife. D, you beat villain. E, everybody's happy and they hug and kiss. Right? Like, it just felt like a very formulaic entry into the MCU.
But Ken, where's my bud? But I get what you're saying here. But when this movie came out, which was 2010, so it's although it is mid to late phase one, this movie still is very early in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Yeah,
and it's still, we're still trying to figure some things out. You know, Disney had not acquired the rights yet to Marvel. There wasn't that backing. You still had Johnny Favs trying to produce this movie and also play the role of Happy Hogan. The movie still grossed $600 million, so it's not like it was an absolute failure here. But I do get what you're saying. It still is important. Like, if you had to carve this movie up into 2 hours and say, is it worth telling us about Natasha Romanoff, who becomes Black Widow? Yes. Is it worth the transition from Terrence Howard to Don Cheadle and building that character up, which is still featured in Endgame, which is still featured in Falcon and Winter Soldier? Yeah. Yes. Is it worth showing Ivan Drago and how Tony can, you know, use his technical abilities and money for good, while in the first movie he was kind of like, you know, coming to grips with that? Yes. Is it worth showing us Justin Hammer dancing on stage? Yeah. Because that dude is awesome. That dude is a fucking clown.
Yeah, Sam Rockwell's hysterical. Fun,
he is hysterical. I love the scene when Ivan Drago like basically breaks himself out of jail with a bomb and a potato. First off, like, you backtrack. He's in the cell, and then they put in somebody who kind of looks like him, and he knows what's going on. He's like, "Oh, I'm about to get out of this bitch." And then they give him this potato bomb, so he gets out of the jail. And then they lead him to this computer room. He is able to hack everything and get out. And then they bring him to the airport hangar, and Justin Hammer, like a psychopath, is just sitting in the middle of this airport hangar eating, like, an ice cream sandwich, which is always hysterical whenever a grown man eats an ice cream sundae, sorry. Like, he's got that little spoon, and he's, like, and just, like, bouncing around and shit. Hysterical. So I get what you're saying, man. I get what you're saying. Maybe we don't have to spend that much time on Iron Man 2, and we can maybe get into the Falcon and the Winter Soldier as we head into the final episode, but I still think it was needed. I still think it is okay to watch. It's not a great rewatch. The movie did fine, and I think for what it was worth and what it was given, you know, it still did a pretty good job.
I don't disagree with most of what you said, to be honest. I am being a little bit harsh on it, just because there are other films that raise the bar so high that Iron Man 2 felt like it fell a little flat. But to echo your point, you make a very, very good point, because when we talk about, and if you're new to MCU for Dummies, this is your first foray into the Dummyverse, or if you're watching us live, or if you're waiting for the new episode of The Corner Booth, or if you're just coming in after listening to the latest episode of The Mets Exchange, you know, when we talk about the movies that we're doing, we're going chronological order, how they should be watched, in our opinion, as two dummies, where the characters and their stories are introduced chronologically, which means we started with Captain America, then Captain Marvel, and now Iron Man and Iron Man 2. But Lou's right. When you talk about phase one of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, Iron Man 2, depending again on your feelings about the Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2 is the second or third movie.
Yeah.
Based on however you feel about the Hulk. Either the Hulk does or doesn't exist in your MCU canon. Obviously, he exists, but either the Incredible Hulk does or does not exist in your MCU canon. That's up to you to decide. But Iron Man 1 came out in 08. Iron Man 2 came out in 2010, like Lou said. The next movie wasn't until Thor in 2011. So Iron Man 2 being still such an early release in the MCU, right? Just a really not bad. It's let me rephrase some of my talking points. Bad maybe isn't the best term. It's not good though, right? I mean we can agree on that. We can
it's
agree
not
that
good.
It's
not
good.
A good
movie. It doesn't have to be though, because you're right. It does a lot of things story wise that are necessary for the character of Tony Stark, that are necessary for the future of the MCU. The thing that I find hilarious, and this is a question I have for you, Lou, is when they cast Don Cheadle, right?
Yeah.
I mean, and they cast Scarlett Johansson, right? This is 2010. These movies get released all the way through 2019.
Right.
There's 23 of them. What do you think? What do you think Kevin Feige is thinking? Is he saying at that point, cool, this was a good stunt cast, and now we've got Scarlett Johansson. If we ever need to bring her back for one or two movies, we could probably do that. Don Cheadle will probably be open to coming back and doing a few things. Is he thinking, is this guy sitting there thinking, I gotta fucking pay these clowns to come back every fucking three movies, or else these nerds are gonna get fucking mad at me? Is that like, do you think he thought that he would have to do this much with Scarlett Johansson and with Don Cheadle?
Nah, man. Don Cheadle is the family friend at the party that you say, like, okay, the party starts at 7. And he's like, great, I'll be there at 5. And is like, has like two shirts with him. He has the helping out shirt where he knows he's going to sweat through. And then he has the shirt where he knows he's going to wear during the party. And then afterwards, he helps you clean up. He's all game in real life and also in the movies. I mean, by the end of once we get into Endgame and even the Falcon Winter Soldier, my guy's walking around with like no legs. So Don Cheadle is all for it. I personally think, as far as the character goes, this is an upgrade over Terrence Howard. I have no issues with Don Cheadle running the show as the War Machine. ScarJo has, you know, always been around, one of those actresses that has built up just an incredible book of work. But you know, correct me if I'm wrong, maybe here, but there's no like, she's not like Jennifer Aniston type. Well, I mean, Jennifer Aniston, I wouldn't even throw that up there.
I mean,
like,
ScarJo's, I mean, her career has been so fascinating.
She's got really good movies. I'm totally pulling a blank here, so I'm looking up on the iPad so we don't got to listen to the tappy tap tap here. But obviously goes through a lot of the MCU type movies. I think she's a perfect Black Widow as the character evolves into the Endgame. You know, when you're in a million Marvel movies and you Google somebody, that's all you really get here. But is in Jojo Rabbit. No, I'm just kidding. Just Marvel movies. She was in Her as the voice of the AI. She was just in a lots of rom-coms here. She was in The Jungle Book. She was in the SpongeBob SquarePants movie, Ken.
When you're a star, Lou, you'll do anything.
She's been in movies, which is something that I cannot say in myself. And I'm not saying that she's a bad actress here. All I'm saying is that it was an actress that you could take a chance on. I think you got really lucky that you had somebody with just incredible stamina who could hold a character and presence for about two decades. Yeah. Similar to a Don Cheadle type, you know, Robert Downey Jr. kind of phasing out in his own career too. But if the intention was to launch the MCU, then landing the talent of Scarlett Johansson and Don Cheadle in the very beginning to be supporting characters to Robert Downey Jr. was an amazing decision, which I feel like looks back on in retrospect as we hit it out of the ballpark. But man, that must have been a total fingers crossed gamble. Let's hold our nose here before we dive in when it first happened.
Interesting. Yeah, I don't listen. Scarlett Johansson. I'm reading through her award nominations, which were not phenomenal. I mean, her latest marriage story was that, and Jojo Rabbit, which you do, you know, which you have made fun of already. Which I don't know if you've seen, by the way, but Jojo Rabbit's a fun. It's a good movie.
Okay, I take your word for it.
Also includes your boy Taika Waititi, who will come back into the MCU to revive Thor when we get into the Ragnarok.
Hey, really quick, when it comes to directors who also star in their own movie, is it Jon Favreau as Happy Hogan, or is it Taika Waititi in Thor Ragnarok?
Taika is so cool, Taika, man. Yeah. Especially because I don't know if you've ever seen what they do in the Shadows either, which is a fun mockumentary style show about vampires, is hilarious. And Taika Waititi is still a writer on that show as well. He's out of this world. I don't mean to get onto a tangent here about Taika, who is maybe one of the best directors still doing their thing these days. Though your boy Martin Scorsese would say that this is not cinema. And to Martin Scorsese, I say, I have diarrhea and I want you to smell it. So there's that. But Iron Man 2, Lou, let's wrap up our Iron Man 2, because I think we are fascinated to get to what is the new in MCU lore, which is Falcon and Winter Soldier, which is entering its final episode in just a couple of days. Friday, April 23rd will be the final episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier. Still so many unanswered questions in that show. A lot of fun. It's actually a really interesting thing, because I would say that Falcon and Winter Soldier and Iron Man 2 kind of feel the same to me. They're both fun. They both are introducing some fun characters and doing some fun things. There's some important moments, but all put together, the show isn't great. And all put together, the movie wasn't great, but it did what it needed to do. So, Lou, give me here's the big three, right? As we do with every movie, let's hit the big three. Tell me, A, could we have Endgame Tony Stark without Iron Man 2?
Yes.
Interesting.
I think a lot of the best parts about Iron Man 2, the Don Cheadle, the Pepper Potts evolution, the character development that Tony does take, you could have maybe tacked on 20, 25 more minutes of an Iron Man 3, called that Iron Man 2. No hammer time, no Ivan Drago, and you could have made it work.
Yeah, I don't disagree, especially because we're about to get, and where Lou and I are excited that now after this Iron Man 2, we're going to have a bit of a break before we get into Thor, because we're going to take a recap of these first movies. We're going to take a look at all the new stuff that's coming in the MCU, including the trailer for Shang-Chi and the Ten Rings, which is really fun. And in Iron Man 3 is when you'll meet the Mandarin.
The real Mandarin.
The fake Mandarin, or whatever the hell is going on. And we'll talk about that in the coming weeks. Lou, second question about Iron Man 2. Where does she rank for you in the wider MCU right now?
Yeah. You know, I still have to put my list together, so I can't give you a definitive...
Louis, you know I'm going to ask this question every week.
I know. I've done a bad job at this. But Iron Man 2 definitely ranks towards the bottom here. I'm just looking up a little timeline thing here. Iron Man 2 is below, honestly, a lot of movies. It probably hovers around Thor the Dark World. I mean, a lot of the other movies I can kind of like root for, like Avengers, not that great of a movie, but emotionally there's a lot of things there. First Thor movie, also not that great of a movie, but there are things to root for there. Iron Man 2 is just like, you know, a good test that I would like to implement into this show is, if I had to watch this movie in 20 years with like a young child, how would I feel? And I know, like, chronologically, like the podcast that we've done so far, Captain America, First Avenger, I'd be like, wow, you're really going to like this. Captain Marvel, I think it's going to age well once everybody takes their head out of their ass about Brie Larson and we get more Captain Marvel stories. I think it will age well. Iron Man, I think, will be just a nostalgic classic. And then Iron Man 2, I'm going to be like, can you just watch that by yourself? Because I'm not really excited to watch that one.
Yeah, this is one that I would plan, assuming I'm watching with my nephews, assuming I maybe am the father of a poor child one day who's got to deal with me farting in his face all afternoon long. This is one that I would save.
Will you grab his head for good measure, or is it just going to be like in the air?
He's going to, like, I mean, you think about a kid, they're at like fart level all day. right? Like,
yeah,
you're grown. They're not. They're just at fart level. Anyway,
right, so you got to fart on the kid.
Like, I think this is one I would plan if I were a father. And if you are a father listening, or you are an uncle, or you are a mother, or an aunt, or whatever you may be, I would say plan this one for a day where you need a cat nap. You know?
Yeah.
You can kind of snooze your way through this one. Little, you'll be okay. Little, you'll be cool.
A little snoozy fest.
I'll also say, though, that the fight scenes are fun. Right? I mean, the first scene at the car race at the Monaco Grand Prix, right? That one's fun. Cars get cut in half and shit. Like, that's cool. And then the end one with the drone army and little War Machine tag team with Iron Man, that's fun too. So you'll have fun, but you can sleep in between those two.
You absolutely. You get some nice Elon Musk.
Yes.
Here.
Yeah. You could really just, you could look up the YouTube video of that though. You don't need to watch it in real time.
No, not at all. It's not like a wait and see moment. It's just, all right, it happened.
Yeah.
and like, oh, I wonder if he'll come back. But the answer is no.
The answer
is no.
Let's
move on to Falcon the Winter Soldier, man.
Let's do it, big guy.
I really wish had a better acronym because I hate saying the whole thing.
FWS. But, it just is not good. I mean, I don't know if they workshopped other names and just couldn't come up with something. Or if they said, if we don't put Falcon and Winter Soldier in the title, people will think this is about Captain America.
Yeah.
And people will assume Chris Evans is coming back. So we are just going to cut out everything that has to do with Chris Evans right now. And we're just going to name it Falcon and Winter Soldier.
Yeah.
Where we are, we're about to head into the season finale. We have some chaos ensuing. Your boy John Walker is making his own shield out of like fucking leftover Truly cans or something in his garage. He's all jacked up on super soldier serum. Bucky is coming to terms with the fact that he either wants to kiss Sam or his sister. Sam is kind of really making an emotional leap, man. It is like chilling when you hear Sam Wilson, Falcon have those conversations with his sister, have those conversations with the other Captain America, the black man who was experimented on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's really interesting to hear those conversations, especially at such a time that we're dealing with in our real life right now, which kind of grounds it in realism, in a fun way. Shit's going to get weird. The shield is up for grabs. Lou, the question for you, my friend, what's in the box?
What's in the box
that Sam got from the Wakandans? He opened it up at the end of the episode. We have not seen inside of it. What's in there?
It's probably a nice green iMac from Tim Cook and Apple. And then on the bottom it says, oh, yeah, and the Wakanda sent you guys this too. One would have to assume it's probably a new uniform. The question here is what route do the showrunners go? Do we go the route of like, is this like a full on Captain America where it's like just basically like reincarnated and maybe he has some of the technology that Prince T'Challa has with like the kinetic energy that's stored through
that would be fascinating.
Hits and stuff. Does he have that? I don't know. Does he have some sort of suit that also accommodates for flight? You know, last episode, which was episode 5, was the first episode that touched the 60-minute mark. Does this episode, episode 6, just become a small movie and go over that? How much time is allocated to tell the remainder of these stories, which there's so much left to be unsaid? But do we actually get a new Falcon, which would then lead old Falcon to no longer need to be Falcon, right? Do we see some of the military boy becoming the new Falcon here? So does Sam get wings? Does he just become full-on Captain America after doing a bunch of acro yoga flips in his backyard? I don't know the question, man, but one would have to assume that Sam Wilson's getting a new suit. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't disagree. I mean, that little Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who comes in and drops that fun piece of exposition that the shield is, nobody owns the shield, right? Just like casually throws that one in there for everybody to hear. Okay, cool. The shield is up for grabs. Nobody owns it. That's a lot of fun. We'll talk about Julia in a minute. But yeah, I mean, there's no doubt, right, that there's a uniform in that box. I'm thinking that there's going to be wings in it, just because, like, that's what he does. He does wing stuff. He is the Falcon. I think you'll get a little bit of red, white, and blue in the suit, right? Maybe a little bit more Americanized than his red and black Falcon thing. Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't have a good prediction. I don't think we'll see Sharon Carter ever again. I think she disappears into the wilderness.
Well, she's got to be the power broker at this point.
However,
right?
Lou, here's an interesting rumor that I heard, and I'd be interested to hear your thoughts.
Hit me.
In the last episode, or maybe two episodes ago, maybe it was episode four, we saw Sharon Carter on the phone. Sharon Carter did not have an iPhone during that scene. Apple and Marvel have a deal where only heroes are allowed to use iPhones and villains are not allowed to use iPhones.
That's a weird contract.
It is.
Working as the in-house counsel for that, and you're like, all right, we do not want any villains to have Apple products. But
and,
Ken,
and
I would
Marvel
ask the question,
didn't
of,
even, I guarantee you, why, Marvel
why
didn't
did
even
Frank,
read that.
Why did Frank Underwood have Apple products then?
Yeah, so interesting.
It's a good point.
I wonder
she's
what
she's
got to
be the power broker.
I don't think she's going to be the power broker. The timeline just doesn't match for her to be the power broker. We saw her in Avengers Endgame on the blip screen, as if she was gone for those 5 years. So for her to come back and then move to Madripoor and then become a power broker with like these global implications, that would be insane to me. I think that would be bad. That would be bad writing.
We saw faster people rise during the Trump administration, so you can't say that it's impossible.
Watch it, buddy. Watch it. I mean, if she was the power broker, I think that'd be lazy writing, and I wouldn't like it.
But I do think this show is just has been massaged, stretched, and soaked in a whole pot of lazy writing. I think that's what we're going to get here. So
you're not wrong. I mean,
there's not enough time.
It depends on your feelings about all they had to reshoot, all they had to re-edit, all they had to do this, that, and the other thing to fix the virus subplot.
Nick, can you tell me what that was about? What did you get from it?
Yeah, so it seems that the part of the Flag Smasher background, part of their subplot, was that there was supposed to be a virus or some sort of medical emergency that had come to the front lines because of the repopulation of the world, right? Which is, causing millions of people to be displaced, and it's, you know, increasing the number of diseases and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, which is why in the first episode or second episode, you heard they're stealing all these vaccines, right? Like that, you know, we never talked about that again. We were just like, oh, cool, they stole vaccines. Like, that was it. There's a ton of scenes, and I would be interested to link this breakdown in the description of this podcast. Our friends over at New Rock Stars, they are not our friends. I would love for them to be our friends, and I will buy them cookies from Starbucks. I will send you Starbucks money for cookies, New Rock Stars. But they did a great breakdown of things that are possible re-edits or voiceovers for scenes that they definitely just took wider shots or shots that were left on the cutting room floor so that they could re-throw in dialogue that maybe was re-recorded to knock that subplot out of the show. So it kind of depends on your feelings about that, which I don't know where my feelings are on that, to be quite honest. I just feel like if you're this far into, like, canceling stuff and rescheduling stuff and doing this and doing that and doing the other thing, why not just do it again, right? Why not just push this back 2 months, have Loki come out first, et cetera, et cetera. However, who knows what Loki
that, though,
will.
With
right.
Wanda. Right.
Right.
Like, Wanda came out end of last year. So even if you, or beginning of this year, so even if you take that into account, imagine being promised Falcon and the Winter Soldier first, and then pushing it back two more TV shows. I get what you're saying, Ken. I would ask you the question of, do you think, just at this point, we've just become a whole bunch of sippy boy fanboys here, and that like every TV show that comes out from that has like MCU and Disney plastered all over it, where like it's just at such a high bar, but It's not really the objective. Like, they're not trying to produce new Endgames in every TV show. Yeah. They're kind of just trying to, like, reproduce. Like, I don't know. They're just trying. They're trying to figure out where the strategy goes. And you're much more tuned in on the awards. And this is an article which I'll just blatantly say I just saw the headline and read it. But it said something along the lines of the upcoming award slate with the movies that Disney put forth shows some sort of signs of which movies might possibly be multiple seasons here. So do you think Falcon and the Winter Soldier, I mean, you and I look at this show through a lens of the whole story's got to be completed in, you know, this part one. Is there a possibility this goes on for, you know, multiple seasons and kind of, you know, comes and goes as they please here? What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it's interesting because I don't want it to. I want to not do that.
It wouldn't be that great, but
no. I wonder, right? I mean, this show had the budget of like your biggest Game of Thrones season, right?
Yeah.
Like when you think of what was it, the Dark War? What the hell was that episode? The Night Battle.
What show are you talking about?
Game of Thrones, when they fought
Battle
everybody
of the Bastards?
No. The nighttime one.
Oh,
with the zombies and the...
Oh, where he rises everyone at the end?
Yeah, The Long Night, right?
Yeah, like
that was the episode.
That was a movie quality.
Right, and like the budget for that thing was that of like 18 small countries, right?
Yeah.
And each episode of Falcon and Winter Soldier had the same budget. And I don't know if it's just because of the rewrites. I don't know if it's just because of the re-editing. But the fight scenes are sick. I mean, that episode 5 fight scene between John Walker, Bucky, and Sam was the best fight scene I've seen since Endgame.
I mean, there's nothing there for WandaVision, so...
Right. Well, I mean, Red Vision and White Vision argued about the ship of Theseus or whatever, which was a fun battle. But, like... I don't know, like that fight scene was awesome. Falcon's whole animation this whole time has been awesome. We've seen the shield do some weird shit that we've never seen, right? Like everybody's throwing it around and catching it and shit. Like it all looks awesome.
Everyone's playing with the shield all of a sudden. Everyone
Everybody really
turn.
Is.
Like it's Pokemon Go. Everyone's just throwing it around.
I wonder, Lou, you made a really good, a really interesting point. I wonder if his, because we know that Sam is not super soldier. We do know that Bucky is, and we do know that John Walker is. I wonder if that suit that the Wakandans gave him, which we can only assume is a suit. I mean, watch it just literally be like $100, right?
It's
like,
definitely
watch
not it be an like, iPad.
Like $100 in quarters or some shit. But yeah. That suit, I wonder, maybe it will have that kinetic energy type thing that the Black Panther suit has. That would be a fascinating twist, Lou. I think that's... I'm going to put that in my arsenal of opinions that it will have. I think that's a really good theory.
Yeah. No, thank you. Take all the theories that you want, man. I would have to say that I think expectations for this show definitely trumped the actual product here. But when all is said and done, if you were to look at this show in like a 3-year time frame, maybe in the future, I still think it's going to be pretty good. You know, Wyatt Russell performs very well.
He did really good, dude.
Yeah, you could have there's I think this show and WandaVision does a really good job of just smashing the MCU up and allowing the tentacles to kind of just fall as they may for whatever comes next. And that's kind of cool, especially through the medium of telling stories through TV show format and not having to have it as a movie. You know, I'll ask you the question here. Like, I think about Doctor Strange could be a perfect fit, but what former movie in phase probably 3 and 4 would you have said would have been a better Disney Plus original series versus a movie?
I think Guardians of the Galaxy would be a really fun TV
All of them?
Show.
Or just the first one?
Just the first one would have been a fun TV show.
Yeah.
I think... Ooh, Lou, this is a great question. I think, honestly, Age of Ultron would have been a really good TV show.
Like a good 3-parter? Here's like a good hour each?
Yeah. And honestly, you could have given more exposition into the Sokovia War Accords. You could have given more exposition into the breakup of the Avengers, really, that we see in Civil War, right?
Yeah.
Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I think there's a couple of them that would have been really, really good TV shows. And I think you're seeing that because I think this is a fine show, but I like finite things. I don't like things that need to breed out of itself. I don't like the fact that we do prequels. I think prequels are boring. I think prequels suck because we know how it ends.
Yeah.
We know what comes next. If you are an adventurous writer, you do sequels. If you are a poet, you do prequels. That's where I'm at.
Give me your
Falcon Winter Soldier final theory. How does this end? Does it set up a second season? Does it come to the conclusion? Who's doing what? Where are the characters?
I think Sharon Carter is the power broker. Because that question needs to be answered.
Yeah.
There's not many questions that really need to be answered. Like, if you were to go through the main characters, the power broker needs to be addressed, and to announce a whole new character right now at this point, I think would be malpractice in storytelling. So it's probably Sharon Carter. Bucky needs to come to grips with his neighbor and admit to his past, right? That's where we're kind of going there. Sam needs to, he has to move the Earth. He has to stop the Flag Smashers but also not kill Carly. He has to save his boat. He has to stop Sam from flirting with his sister.
Yeah, he's busy. He's a busy guy.
He's got a lot of stuff going on right now. So Sam is the only character that I think out of this entire show could really maybe carry in like an ounce of a storyline on by himself. But Sam's character, and I don't know if this is the character or if just Anthony Mackie per se, but the character is in its own when it's supported by other characters that it could be emotional off of, like the Carly scenes, the hey Bucky, you know, hang in there, it wasn't your fault, this type of stuff, and his sister and you know, that type of vibe. But Sam can't carry the show. Sebastian Stan as the Winter Soldier, you know, White Wolf, Mr. mutters a couple of words every so often. He's got this arm that you can just disable like an iPhone. He can't carry a show here. So everyone collectively can put it together, which is why I think the ending of the season was going to be kind of like lukewarm. But I do think somebody who comes up on top is going to be the U.S. agent of Wyatt Russell, John Walker. I do think there's more life to him in the story. I don't think he just dies.
Yeah.
And yeah, the Julia Louis-Dreyfus biggest probably cameo in an MCU movie ever, as far as the Academy Awards go.
It
was quite satisfying. It was very interesting to see. So I don't know, man. There's so many questions that are still out there. Maybe they just power through. Maybe we get like a a la Breaking Bad season finale where they just power through all of the open questions here. But I don't really have my hopes up. I think this movie, this TV show, I will not watch at midnight. I will probably just wait for the next day to come around and just gracefully get to it when I get to it. So
yeah.
Not really.
That's interesting. I'll admit I'm pretty horny for it. So like I'll probably watch it at midnight. But at the same time, I think there's a lot. I disagree. I think there's a lot of unanswered questions, and I don't know if they're going to be able to address them appropriately in a timely fashion. I'm nervous that there'll be a second season. I think we're about to see the introduction of the Thunderbolts, which is the MCU's fake superhero lineup, which includes U.S. Agent. I think that'll be headed up by somebody like Julia Louis-Dreyfus, maybe partnered with Thunderbolt Ross, who we see as the Secretary of State in Age of Ultron and is introduced in The Incredible Hulk, which we will cover potentially on a future MCU for Dummies.
There's nothing else to talk about.
I know. Yeah, maybe we'll do that in the extended cut. We'll do Incredible Hulk. I think there's a lot of questions.
MCU.
It's going to be fun. I'm nervous that there's going to be a second season. What I'd like to see is if my interpretation of the data is correct and we are going into a Thunderbolts type secondary storyline, I would like to see that be the season, right? Instead of calling it Falcon and Winter Soldier, I would like to see the new show be called Thunderbolts, right? Do something like that instead. Yeah. At the same time, I think we're going to see, here's my final battle prediction. I think we're going to get a little bit of John Walker versus Sam versus Bucky versus on the same team as Sam and Bucky, little Carly. Carly Morgenthau comes in. She helps the good guys. I think she will die. I think the Flag Smashers will go with her. So that way they don't have to address that storyline anymore. Yeah. And they can call that one off. I think Joaquin will come in as the new Falcon, potentially to save the day. I think John Walker at the end of the day will get beaten. He will not die. And then he will join forces with Julia Louis-Dreyfus. And they will go on to move to a New York City apartment with George Costanza. And they will start a new show. about people who do nothing.
Yeah.
Let's close it up, man. I love this show, folks. If you haven't listened to MCU for Dummies yet, start at the top, man. Go back, listen to the first one we did, Captain America: First Avenger. We just got through the end of Iron Man 2. We're going to recap next, okay? So next week we can come back with some recaps. We're gonna have some of our favorite moments from our first couple of movies. We're gonna talk about what's on the radar for the future of the MCU, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. It's all very exciting. Hit us up with your ideas for what's gonna happen at the end of Falcon and Winter Soldier. And then once it does happen, if you're as horny as I am, you'll be watching at midnight. Give us your reaction. You know, we're live on Twitter, I think. We're live on Twitch, I think. You know, let us know what you think. Put it in the comments, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And join the conversation here. We're having a lot of fun. This is the MCU for Dummies. We are pretty stupid, and we're happy to have you here with us. I am dummy number one, Ken. That is dummy number Lou, too. Damn it, dummy number two, Lou. And we are out of town. We'll see you next week on MCU for Dummies.
Yep, and you can just find me in a cave with a bunch of scraps.